This year, experience the NBA playoffs your way. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live basketball at home when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Boone Podcast.
If I get 3 pairs of shoes from a collective 14 gifts, I'm good.
On today's program, we flip the script on Booney.
With 141, his second home run in as many nights and his 37th of the year.
Today, we stick him under the lights and shove a mic in his face.
And I mean, we're flying through these tree-lined trails going 1,000 miles an hour.
He is CBS Sports Radio host and the executive producer of the Boone Podcast, Rich Herrera.
I want to know about you guys. What was life like growing up around your dad while he was playing when you guys were younger?
Now, in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Hello, good everybody, and welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I'm Rich Herrera, the executive producer of this podcast. And sometimes I sit on camera with Brett Boone. I was looking for Brett, but I don't see him today. Has anybody seen Brett?
Are you referring to my weak attempt at a goatee?
I was going to tell you, folks, this is going to go out on all our social media channels. I don't know. I just don't know what to think of that thing on
my thought process. I said people that have these big thick beards are just hiding, but just because they're ugly.
Yeah, they're hiding behind something.
Shit, I'm getting older.
The Adams down, like you know.
I'm getting older. I have a midlife crisis about every 2 years.
And obviously, having one right now.
For right now.
Watching the social media.
What I'm holding on by a thread because you can't. You know, normal people, normal men with normal man hair, and you grow a beard. And you tidy it up, and it looks good, and it's thick, and it's full. Mine's like a bunch of little like spiders on my face, just like random hairs, and they itch. I'm pushing it to is. I don't think I'm going to go much longer. I had to hold on because I hadn't seen you in a while, and I know you're very critical of how I present myself. So
I'm just saying, I wouldn't know what to say about this. Attempted a beard. I mean, it's
patchy. I'll tell you, the lighting, makes it look even like better than it really is.
And there's just no volume to it. There's no, there's big splotches of white in the middle. There's a lot of gray right there.
That might be my over-lighted studio. All right.
There's a little, listen, Grandpa.
We got a lot to get to. We got a lot to get to. Get off my beard. Beard slash.
It's hard not. Well, it's either hard not to get off your beard or it's hard to stay on your beard because either one, it's weak.
Yeah, we call it in the industry tired. It's tired. It's
is tired, and it's not very often that I get the – well, okay, listen. Now, in all honesty, I cannot grow a beard to save my life. That's why I don't have one. The only thing I can grow is the goatee – but I don't do the full whatever you're trying to do right there.
This is about 3 weeks worth of growing, and it's still patchy.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
it's something.
Yeah, it's something. I tell you what. We'll persevere. I can't take my eyes off of it's like a car wreck.
It ain't that bad.
Oh, I'm looking at it.
All right, let's go. What do you got? What do you got for me, Rich? How you been? Where you been?
I've been good. I've been working out here in Virginia. Watched a little baseball. Watched the Masters. I got a lot to get to with you today, so let's just start with the Masters.
You watched
it over the weekend. I watched it, Rory. So I'm getting mad. I'm watching the Masters, and there's this guy that on the Golf Channel, British, an Irishman, and I'm actually going to Ireland next week. So I was kind of listening to the accent. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'm going to hear a bunch of people talk like that as they drink Guinness and eat meat and potatoes. So I'll do that. It'll be fine. But he kept just banging on Rory. Oh, well, you know, Rory's ahead, but he doesn't know how to play. He doesn't know how to play from ahead. He'll fall apart. He'll fall apart. Saturday, boom, starts to fall apart. Comes back Sunday, mans up, wins the thing by a stroke, and just taps it in. Just tap, 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 tap in like Happy Gilmore to win the whole thing. Scottie Scheffler made it a run at him. Justin Rose made it a run at him. But as they say, the tournament doesn't start till the back nine in Augusta, and I was kind of surprised that this guy was banging on Rory. He's already got a jacket, now he's got two, so Rory can tell him to go suck it.
I'll tell you, I love big golf tournaments, majors. Those are my probably favorite sporting event, if we're going to call it a sport, to watch, and you know that. I watched pretty much, you know, I really, starting on Saturday, I really start to pay attention, but I'm always watching when the majors are up. And the whole week was about,
that's what Rory. Old men do, is they watch right. Golf.
But the whole week was about, you know, I get kind of sick of the stories. Just show me the golf. And Rory won a year ago, so I knew it was going to be a walk down memory lane for 3 days about how can Rory find the magic. Anyway, Rory, obviously great player, one of the great players of this era. And I've always thought about what makes you like a legendary great player, like a Tiger, I even think Scottie Scheffler in recent times has gotten to that level, you know, the Michael Jordan level, Tiger level. And it's, if Tiger had a lead going into Sunday, it was over. The tournament was over. It's like you just wanted to watch to see how much either the field was going to fold or Tiger was going to pull away from the field. I think Scheffler recent times has been the same guy. You give Scottie Scheffler a lead going into Sunday, it's pretty much over. But I think everybody else in golf is in a separate category. Anybody that's leading other than those two, I think it's still up in the air. And I watched and I thought, I didn't think Rory was going to hang on. And he started off early, and he went down two after leading the tournament by, I think, a record amount on Friday by six shots. Then the field caught up to him, and it was 11. I forget who was tied with him at 11. Anyway, somebody was tied with him at 11. So he
there was the Chinese player, I think Lee was tied, was making a run. A lot of people made runs at him.
So going into Sunday, I thought, he's not going to hold this. He went down too early. Because I think – there's only certain people that automatically hold it. And I mentioned the two of this generation that do it. I think back in the day, Jack Nicklaus, those type of guys, if Jack was in the league going into Sunday, it's pretty much over. But I haven't seen anyone other than Tiger and Scheffler in recent times that have had that cachet that you're leading. It's almost like the rest of the field looks and goes, oh, Scottie Scheffler's leading. Well, we might as well just play for second. As great as Rory is, and he's a great player, obviously, wins the Masters twice. I think that's at least his fifth or sixth major.
He's got the Grand Slam.
Hall of Famer. But I still don't think the field thinks when Rory's winning Sunday that it's automatically over like they do the other two. So I was interested to see how it unfolded. He went down too early. And I'll tell you what. I don't know what happened to me there. I'll tell you what. I've got to tip my cap to him. That sucker hung in there, and that whole field was coming at him. Scheffler came out of nowhere. 2 days earlier, he was even par, made a run, finished at 11, just because he couldn't make a putt on the back nine. But the fact that Rory went through that, had everybody gunning for him, and held everybody off and won that tournament. He went into 18, blasted it dead right like I would have done. Had a blind shot, hit it, didn't even know where he hit his second shot. He was in the back bunker. He knows what he's got to do right now. He just gets up and down, or he just got to get it on the green and two putt, and he did what he had to do. But I found a new level of respect for Rory McIlroy after doing that. Because winning the Masters, everything's on you. Every story is about you. You can't repeat. You're up by six shots. Now you're tied. Now everybody's already thinking it ain't going to happen. And the fact that he hung in there, I got a lot of respect for that. And I can appreciate that. That's what makes great players legend. I think he just went to that next tier of beyond a great player and beyond a great golfer. And I was impressed, and all my buddies were like, oh yeah, you said Roy. I said, I got to tip my cap to him. That was impressive.
Okay. That might've been, you came about that close, Boone, to committing your second error on the podcast. First error, showing up with this stuff on your face. Second error was all of that about Roy. He's going to ask what, hey Brett, how about a taste of your haterade right here? Because you're just hating on Rory, who's won the Grand Slam. He's won the Masters. He's done it all. But then as you finally get and you land this plane wobbly on the aircraft carrier, but you land it, and you're right, he is now a legend because he's won two. He's got the story of winning the first one after falling behind and having so many close chances and opportunities in Augusta, never could do it. Then he finally does it, and then he comes back, all eyes upon him. Wobble stands there and has a legendary stance as he holds off Scheffler and everybody else. Let me ask you, on Saturday when he started to fall apart, was he falling apart or was everybody else throwing darts up there at the greens?
Everybody was throwing darts. He didn't fall apart.
It wasn't necessarily him choking then.
No, he kind of held serve. He just had he was hitting the ball all over the place. He was like last in fairways and regulation.
Right.
And I remember somebody said one of the commentators said, you know, at Augusta, eventually that's going to catch up to you, having to scramble that often. I think Saturday it caught up to him, and he didn't. It's not like he just folded the 10. I think he shot 72.
Right.
There was just a bunch of guys shooting 65. So the course, I'm assuming, I wasn't there, I'm assuming it was gettable on Saturday.
Oh, the greens were so dry. I mean, people were just, they could shoot.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden Sunday, he just held on. I mean, that's, it's amazing to hold on like that. That's why I say not too many people can do that, because they have that ability to
be comfortable
just for the rest of the field to look at you and say, oh, when he's got the lead, it's tough to catch him. And until everybody's human out there, with the exception of Scheffler and Tiger Woods. But all of a sudden, Rory's kind of gotten into their level. And now I think going forward, from a psyche standpoint, Rory in future tournaments, I think when he's got the lead and the weekend, I think he's going to have that aura like people are going, oh, Rory's got the lead. And he's got that self-confidence. Like, when I have the lead, I'm gonna put it away. And I think that's a dangerous opponent. But I think just getting over the hump, winning two Masters in a row, holding off the field when a lot of people doubted him, including me, which, who cares what I think? I'm a golf fan.
You're a podcaster.
Bottom line is, athlete to athlete, if we're considered golfers athletes, much respect to what he just accomplished.
You're just all over the place. You're spraying like he did on Saturday.
But it's not hate. I'm giving him like the biggest compliment you can have in your field.
Compliment. I'm
putting him with Scheffler and Tiger Woods.
Okay.
That's as big a compliment as you can get.
Anyway. You can't put anybody with Tiger.
Agreed, but I'm talking about that aura where people fear you. People fear you when you have a lead on the weekend. That is big time.
Okay, so I'll throw this out. You ready? So in order to be great, you have to be in one of those superstars, consistency and longevity. Everybody can do it once, doing it a little bit longer, consistency at the top of your game. That's what makes you special. Scottie Scheffler has been number one for, 134 weeks. We saw what he did during the Olympics, some other things. He's had some big runs where he goes at people. Tiger, though, was interesting because Tiger could be down by two on Saturday. Nobody cares because you know he's going to make that run on Sunday. And, Brett, you remember the Tiger roar where the golfers in front of him were almost intimidated? No, they were intimidated. So he's playing, and maybe you're having a great round, but all of a sudden you hear that roar as Tigers gallery starts cheering and going crazy, and you can hear it kind of echoing around around the golf course, like, uh-oh, here comes Tiger. And it was almost like you feel these two big steps, boom, 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 boom. First person ever beat him was Rich Beem at the PGA Championships. That's the first time Tiger ever showed that he was mortal, and then he was never the same after that. But in his day, consistency, longevity, Tiger was the best. But I want to go over to Rory for just a second, because the reason – this is why I think he landed the plane, even though it was all beat up full of holes. The fact that he was able to stand tall and not let the nerves get to him was the most amazing thing ever, because that's why Augusta's different. That back nine will make legends fall apart, and they make everybody look like mortal except for the very few that win that green jacket. And that's why that jacket's so special. When you look at what he did, he could have just said, I'm done, goodbye, see you later, and broken his clubs like Sergio Garcia. But he stood there, withstood everybody else making a run at him, and he was just steady Eddie. And then when he had that errant shot on 18, you're ready, uh-oh, here we go, he's going to fall apart, right at himself. That's like a great hitter, Brett, that's going to adjust from pitch to pitch, and that's what he did on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned Tiger. Tiger, the field would come to him. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't just luck. That's because Tiger earned that because right. of how great he had been. And he knew if he was within, let alone the lead. If he had the lead, it was over. But if he was close, that entire field knew, here comes Tiger. Here comes and a lot Tiger. Of times the field would come to him, but that was earned. Because
you had that, you had that experience. You've only had that experience once in your career that I know of. Where it doesn't matter how many runs were down in the sixth inning, we're
right,
going to win.
Right. Yeah, and that still, and that wasn't an individual thing, right? That was a team thing.
That was a team thing with the Mariners.
0-1 with the Mariners, 116 games.
So describe that for us, what that's like when you just have such uber confidence. You know you're going to win. Doesn't matter what the other team's going to do. They're probably going to wet the bed, but you just know, even if they don't, we're still going to come back and beat you. We are so confident that we can win no matter how many runs we're down the eighth inning. Doesn't matter. We're just going to go up there and win.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a zone, Brett. It's a zone.
Well, it's not necessarily a zone. It's something you feel on the field.
I saw you too. Yeah, that okay. That's it right there. That's what I'm looking for. You can't explain. You just know it's there. You know when you get in the groove and that ball looks the size of a beach ball, I can't be stopped.
Well, I know what it's like being on the other side of it. I know in the late 90s when the Yankees were making those runs and they won the four World Series, I knew what it was like being an opponent in Yankee Stadium when it got to October. I knew that, uh-oh, this team is different. And they've earned that. They've earned that aura that they have across the field. They've been there, done that, completed the task so many times that inherently they believe they were going to do it again. And we as opponents had seen them do it so many times, we didn't question it. So I felt the aura on the other side. I felt the aura the entire decade of the 90s playing against the Atlanta Braves. I played for them 1 year, but for the other eight, I was an opponent. And we'd go to Atlanta, and you just kind of knew. They knew. Like, you know, we're going to win the division this year. You know, we're probably going to go to the World Series. It's amazing to me to this day they only won one World Series in the 90s. But they had earned that aura, and it's something that you can't fake. You can't teach it. You've got to go through and accomplish things and get it done when you need to get it done. And all of a sudden, it just kind of appears. The 2001 Mariner team, we couldn't lose. And we took the field, and we were down by two in the seventh. I could look across the field when I was taking the field. The other team was going off the field. And you could just feel like they know we're going to beat them. And that doesn't mean 100% of the time. But more likely than not, we are going to come back and at least tie you and at least make a game of it. But that was the 1 year wire to wire where I had never seen anything like it being on that side of the ledger.
Is it psychosomatic where it's in your head that you know that you're going to win, or it's in your head that you know they're going to come back and beat you?
I don't know what psychosomatic. Define that for me.
Is it in your head? Do you know in that Mariners team, we're going to win no matter what? And do you know on anybody playing the Braves, it doesn't matter what I do?
No, not necessarily. It's not a give up. It's not a, oh, they're going to win no matter what. It's like we've got to bring our best tonight. We can't come in and play decent and beat this team and definitely beat. I mean, we can beat it. Baseball's so long. It's 162 games. So anybody can win in on an individual night. But to come in a four-game set and take the series, I knew with those special teams that had it, we had to be at our best. We couldn't play. We couldn't leave there, win three out of four, and go, how'd you play? Oh, we played okay. You know, we just did what we had to know.
Okay.
Usually if you beat the Braves, then you had to say, we played really good, and that's why we beat three out of four.
Did you press too hard? Did you grip the bat too tight? Did you push too hard because you knew you had to play 100% flawless baseball?
No, not at all. I mean, it's
the big league. What was the difference?
You're a big leaguer. It's not like I get nervous and press the bat. Nobody likes facing Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavin. Okay, nobody I've ever met likes that.
Do Glavin, Smoltz, and Matt do those three, the big three from Atlanta, do they beat you the day before you see them?
No, but they it's going to be a dogfight.
So you're already off your game, then, is what you're telling me.
Absolutely.
You told me you would look in the USA Today to see what the rotation was going to be. Darn it, we're going to catch
weeks in advance. 2 weeks in advance, I started counting the days. Okay, Maddox pitched today. So let's see. Thursday, he got an off day here. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay, he pitches here. And then he pitches the first game of the series. And Smoltz is following him and Glavin's following him. So it seemed like Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin.
So they're already in your head before it started.
For that, to a degree, I would say, as any pitching staff I've ever faced, and there's a lot of staffs that I went in, and I knew it was going to be a tough series, but consistently for a period of time, yes, I would say, and I will admit, that as a hitter, those three got into my head like no other.
This year, experience the NBA playoffs your way. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live basketball at home when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To come in and nothing's breaking away from you, it's like, oh, thank goodness, we got a lefty today, except for Randy. Randy was not a normal lefty. So, yeah, Randy could put that into you a little bit.
Now, would you go look in the newspaper to see if you're going to face
the game? No.
So those other three are different then. They were in your head before you even started, subconsciously.
Well, because I knew we had a potential to see all three of them in the series. Randy, it's like, yeah, we might get him, we might not.
So when you played for the Braves and you got to play behind those guys, did you say the same thing with the hitter? Oh, man, I can't. I'm going to go out there and get them. Poof, boom. They're down 0-2. Like, and you can just see the break.
Yeah, it was at the time in baseball. It was, you know, we talk about it a lot in today's game. Certain organizations, you come to spring training and it's expected. It's expected that you're going to win. When I was a part of that Braves team in 99, it was expected. It was kind of in the culture, in the clubhouse, the organization. It kind of rubbed off on me like, no, we go to the post every day and we win every series. And that's the way we went about our business. And I look up at the end of the year, we got 104, 106 wins.
So you didn't play football and I played in high school. So this is. I'm going to go down this rabbit hole that doesn't make any sense, but follow me here. When I broadcast football, you could see one team, both teams come out, a college game, let's say, and it's USC taking on Cal. Cal's not very good, but they'll go out there and they'll fight the Trojans as hard as they can for one quarter, and then you could see that moment where they break the will and spirit of the Cal Bears, and USC just will throttle them for the rest of the game. Is it like that in a bat where you just know, okay, I'm facing Randy. It's maybe he's going to fall behind. Now I've got an opportunity. And then you just know he's throwing BBs up there and he buries you. And you just know at that point, this is hopeless.
No, I think baseball's different. because if my pitcher has his good stuff that night.
I'm just talking about your at bat.
No, I'm never.
Okay, so when do you go from being aggressive to having that two hack swing?
What's a two hack swing?
That two strike swing.
Well, that's all hitting is at that level. It's knowing what you got that day.
Do I have that advantage?
Yeah. Do I have my A swing? Do I have my B swing? You know, I can kind of feel what kind of stuff. Who am I facing? And I can kind of feel it after an at bat or two. Like, okay, I've got to. I'm in survival mode. I'm in grind mode. Or, you know what, he doesn't have his good stuff today. I can kind of back leg him a little bit here. So those are all decisions that are made on the fly. Right. So they're not something I go in and go, right.
That's where somebody breaks your will.
Yeah, but I don't know that I've – well, I'm sure I've – yeah, I did have my will broken. The second half of 96 and 97, I was broken as a hitter.
Because we all go in there zero – we all go in there no count. You get in the hitter's count.
But you know what, Rich? Other than that little stretch of about a year and a half, never in my career, and it didn't matter who I was facing. You know, there's a lot of guys that I didn't mind facing that just I didn't have much success off of. For some reason, I saw the ball good. I just didn't have a lot of success. And that never entered my mind. If I'm 1 for 10 off this guy, and he's coming into the game, my first thought might be, oh, come on. How can I not get a hit off this guy? Tonight's going to be the night. I never thought, oh, I'm out already. Never. Now, for that brief time between, like I said, the 96-97 season, oh, I was – you talk about some humble pie.
Oh, yeah. That's when you're finding your dad, right?
Yeah, but – other than that little period of my career, no matter how good I was going, no matter how bad I was going, I wasn't out before I got to the box, because it doesn't matter how much I failed today, yesterday, the day before. I'm going to get you. Eventually, I'm going to get you. And I think you learn that from going through trial and error. You can only learn that from getting your butt kicked, and it makes you appreciate the good times. So I reflect a lot back to those 96, 97 years when I was struggling. Go, hey, remember when you were at Riverfront looking up at the ceiling underneath the bleachers, remember that? And I would, and said, you know what? You turned out, you're all right. You made the adjustment and you went on. So anytime it got bad, I thought there's no chance. I'd remember back to that time in my career where, nope, this too will pass, and would move on. So it all comes with it. It's just experience that you can't recreate. You've got to go through it. I see young hitters go through it all the time, and it's the tough ones that can get through it, get knocked down, get back up, learn from it, and then the next time they go through it, there's not a panic. There's not a, I'm worried it's never going to end. It's, no, I know it's going to end, and I got to keep working on what I need to work on to get to the other side.
So you describe Rory. Rory discovered how to get out of the quicksand.
Oh, and Rory right now, he must be feeling – he went to another level, and he even knows it. He went to another level. The other players, how they see him, he went to another level in their eyes, which is nothing but an advantage going forward for him in his career.
Because, again, folks, I'll tell you this. Brett tells me that in our personal lives all the time. When I was trying to segue from career to career, and I'm thinking I'm never going to be able to do this, Brett's like, you've done it before? Do it again. Get out of your own head.
Yeah.
It's kind of universal in life and in sports. Can we go to Tiger for a minute?
Sure.
I wanted to get your thoughts. So I'm now doing more news than I am sports. And Tiger crossed over, and he was in the – went from the sports pages to news with his latest car crash. A lot of people wanted to talk about Tiger. He should get a driver. He could just get an Uber everywhere. He could do this. He could do that. Brett, I've been rock star adjacent. I'm like a C-lister compared to A-listers. I kind of have a little view of what their life is like, because Tiger's life isn't like – I can't relate to anything like Tiger. Like you said, there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy, right? We've all seen rich people. Very few of us actually know what it's like to know anybody that's wealthy like Tiger. I wanted to get your thoughts on everything that we've seen, people talking about Tiger, what's going on with his life, because I don't think anybody understands. And I know in news, and for me, I listen to all these people like you. You guys are so clueless when you say, hey, you should get a driver so he could not be behind the wheel when he's on pain meds and this and that. I just want to get your thought, because you probably have a better insight because you live that lifestyle of a professional athlete. Your lifestyle is not like anybody else's on this planet, including rock stars. Brett Michaels' life is a little different than Brett Boone's life.
Yeah, you know, Tiger's a guy, we were neighbors for a few years in the late 90s, early 2000s. I lived in Florida in the offseason, and he lived down the street from me. I got to know Tiger a little bit. You know, me and him weren't best friends, but I got to know him a little bit. I've just been watching, you know, and just through trials and tribulations of my life, you know, I'm going on 9 years being a sober person. And I never thought that would be anything I'd ever do in my life. And I have. I watch him, and I'm quick not to judge him for what he's gone through, because I don't know what's really going on in Tiger's world. It's easy to throw rocks and say, oh, he's doing this, he's doing that. Now, all the signs point to that world where things aren't going that great. You know, I know he's had a ton of injuries. He had that car crash a few years ago. You saw him get his DUI. Unfortunately for a guy like Tiger, when you're that famous, every clip in the world is going to, where the rest of us, you know, when we make silly mistakes, you don't always see it on TMZ. But Tiger is not going to be, you know, it comes with the territory. Being one of the wealthiest, successful people on planet Earth, most recognizable, there's so many perks that come with that. But there's a negative side, too, and your private life becomes public. What I look at when I see him is, I don't know, you know, everybody, oh, he's got a drug problem, he's got a pill problem. Probably. But who am I to say? I don't live day to day with Tiger. I get a little. When I hear people say, why doesn't he get a driver? That seems like a layman for somebody that doesn't know about this kind of world, the sober life, or sober, not being sober, having a problem, not having a problem. That isn't the answer. If he's going through what people say he's going through, and he went into rehab. So to me, that's kind of an admission, self-admission, like, I need some help with this. Yeah, maybe you can say it's from a PR standpoint. But for him to fly and go to a legit rehabilitation center, that tells me something inside him says, I've got to deal with stuff I'm going through. The fact that he had two, I don't even know the name of the pills. You know, my thing was drinking. My thing wasn't taking pills, but he had two pills in his pocket when he was arrested. That's kind of not probably normal behavior for somebody. So without getting into, does he have a problem, does he not, who am I to judge? I'm not going to judge him. When I heard all the, oh, he should get a driver, he's so rich. Well, anybody can get a driver. But my thought is, no, if there is a problem, which it looks like there is, clean your life up. You don't have to worry about a driver. You know, for normal people to go out and party, and when it's Friday night and they're going out with the guys and you know there's going to be drinking involved or whatever. Yeah, guys get a driver. Of course, that's the prudent thing to do. But if it's a part of your everyday life, you might want to look at your everyday life. I know I had to look into my everyday life. I know a lot of people do. But that's not for me to judge. I got a little annoyed when I kept hearing, just get a driver and just take pills all day. That's not the answer to anything. No. So that's what was annoying to me about the whole thing. I wish Tiger nothing but the best. You know, if he does have a problem with this, whatever that he didn't take the test for, I hope he's at a place where he really, you know, looks at himself and makes some real changes in his life, because there's nothing like going from that side of it to sobriety from my experience. And I just hope he gets that gift and gets some clarity in his life. He's done so many unbelievable things. I think if Tiger is off at a rehab facility, he takes it dead serious, really, truly, honestly, does what he needs to do, comes back. I think he's going to come back even stronger and can be a huge positive example for everybody. You can't do it half-ass. You can't, oh, yeah, I'm doing great. No, you either do it or you don't. You either change your life or you don't change your life. And I wish, you know, for the greatest golfer, but definitely in my lifetime, I hope he gets the help he needs and he comes back stronger and really is willing to change and go to a different chapter of his life. Because I do think he's been such an enormous positive influence on the game of golf. My favorite thing to do, you know, he made golf cool. And I would like to see him just do what he's got to do, whatever he's dealing with, and do it for real. Do it for real.
Let's put Tiger aside for just a second, but stay in that vein. When you watched everybody from the sportscasters, the newscasters, were people naive when they started talking about what it means to be someone who has a problem?
Well, I think you need to be very careful of making judgments without knowing all the facts. Now, we can all, as people with working brains, put two and two together, and the more things add up, it looks like it's this. But unless you're actually, you know everything, you know all the facts, you're an intimate friend of Tiger on the inside, you probably have a little more insight. But still, I have friends that struggle. But who am I to tell them they have a problem? They've got I found one thing in this life when it comes to self. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. When you look in the mirror and say, I've got to make some changes in my life, that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what I say or what the media says. Yes, I think the media says a lot of things that are misinterpreted, that are come from a place of naivety, like you said. I think a lot of people have no idea what being sober and not being sober is. And you got one of the biggest sports figures in the history of sports figures as the subject, and it will catch a headline. So we'll just say what we're going to say. When sitting back here, it frustrates me because, first of all, be careful before you cast stones, before you know every single fact. We can all add up in our mind what we think is going on. Be very, very careful when judging somebody else, because who are we to judge? And just wish for him to do the best thing. But to say to get a driver, if it was a one-off and it was just a night out of party, of course, get
make
a driver.
Better decisions.
But when this has happened time after time after time, you might want to think it's a little more than getting a driver and be respectful of that.
So let me go down this one more step then, because a lot of people, how could Tiger have a problem? Tiger's got everything in the world. You know, a lot of times I think, and you saw some of the media people being naive about this. Oh, well, he could just stop like that. That's not the case. And I'm very blessed that I have people in my life that have hit rock bottom and rebounded and got back up on their feet. And I'm as proud of them as I am of anything else that anybody's ever accomplished, because I think it's the watching it from afar, not experiencing it, but watching it from afar. It's probably the most remarkable victory anybody could ever have. I mean, yeah, you can become a millionaire, you can become an all-star, but to be able to hit rock bottom and find yourself in a situation. So I have a cousin who hit rock bottom, just rock bottom, and he has rebuilt his life, and he is the most amazing man, father, ever. And I'm so proud of this kid. Can I say his name? Is that allowed?
If he's openly sober and
he's like known.
Yeah, if it's known, yeah.
Yeah. So my cousin CJ Stevens, I'm going to give him a shout out. He inspires me. He had lost everything, and he just looked at himself. He goes, I can't keep doing this. And now he's built himself up. He's a businessman. He's very successful. I love the kid so much. Watching his struggles and watching him go what he went through. But for all these people to go, oh, well, Tiger should just stop drinking. People don't understand you have what it's
well, and for Tiger it wasn't the drink,
yeah, or stop popping pills. Tiger Woods, you've got all this, get a driver,
right? And the thing is, we don't even know what he was doing. Now, once again, using our brain, he found two pills together in his pockets. The police, we can kind of put it together, but we know he wasn't drinking because he blew zeros on the breathalyzer. So drinking wasn't the thing. You know, Rich, I have. At this stage of my life, I have so many sober friends. I still have my friends that I've had my whole life, but I have a lot of sober friends that, like you said, you know, like you mentioned, is it your cousin?
My cousin, yeah. Who, by the way, is a big hero of yours. He loves you. He loves.
I've got a lot of friends that I've seen come in and just problem on, and it could be whatever problem they're going through, and just made that decision to turn their life around, went in guns a-blazing, and have completely turned their life around where they were going just off a cliff, and the next thing you know, thriving in their whatever venture they're currently doing. It's pretty impressive to watch when it's life, you know, you go through life and one phase of your life is completely different than the next, and things you have to do in certain phases of your life that you didn't have. I got to a point in my life, why do I have to do this? Back then I was, things are different. But it's really cool to watch people turn their life around.
I'm in awe.
I would say it's one of the coolest things I witness in my life now. In my life on a daily basis, is to see friends of mine that have turned their life around. A lot of friends of mine that are sober that I played with and against. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. You know, my first reaction is, no way, you stop partying. And then I can hear it in their voice. Like, they're still the same person. They're just, there's a little, I can't really put my finger on it, but there's something different. There's just a softer edge to them. And you can just tell how clear-minded and clear-thinking and how they behave is different than it was, you know. And it's not that they were bad guys or this and that. It just sometimes life gets out away from you a little bit. And to see those guys clean it up, it's one of the most rewarding things I see in my life.
See, that's the thing that bothered me the most, Brett. And again, doing it from the news perspective, is people are acting and treating Tiger like he was a bad person. Oh, if you've got a pill problem, obviously you're a bad person. If you're drinking a lot, obviously you're a bad person. And they wanted to put that pejorative on there. And I think to myself, well, wait a second. These are people that have issues. And who am I to judge? Because at that point, I'm not sure really they know that they have a problem until you hit that rock bottom and you look up like, what have I done with my life?
Yeah. I hope he does what he's got to do. And only he knows that.
Exactly. How many times has your brother been kicked out of a game this year? I have to look.
I don't think he has. Maybe once. It's tough. He's got to reinvent ways to get kicked out with the ABS. Yeah. It's like, what are you going to yell at now? Well, I guess he could get kicked out. Let's say you lose your first two challenges. So in the third inning, you have no challenges left. And then the umpire has a real rough day. You could still get kicked out. But you've got to really get creative to get kicked out now.
Kicked out of games this year. Kicked out. I'm looking this up of games in 2025. In 2026. Let's see. According to ChatGPT, you know, is he going to get mad that we're looking this up in the middle of the podcast?
No, I don't care.
Wow. As of right now, Aaron Boone has not officially recorded any confirmed.
Well, hardly anybody has. You can't with the ABS.
There have been moments of frustration, arguments with umpires early in the season, but no widely reported or verified ejections yet. Most coverage so far is focused on his reaction to the new ABS automatic ball and strike system in games. Context, because it's Boone. Boone has his story. Arnie, I'm sorry.
GPT's for clowns.
Boone is historically one of the most ejected managers in baseball. He had 9 ejections in 2022, a career high. Analysts even predicted he could have double digits in 2026. So far, no ejections. He is the most ejected manager in Yankee history. That says something because Lou was the skipper there, and so is Billy Martin.
Billy Martin. But you got to talk about longevity. Aaron's in, I think, his 9th season. So the more time, it's like you could be a mediocre player, but if you play somewhere long enough, you're going to have more hits than that guy.
So what's he doing? I mean,
It's the ABS. And once again, we're getting to that point with the ABS where I think the fans really like it. And I think it's the way it's presented to us, I think is really good. Within 5 seconds, you're right or you're wrong. I think what it's shining a light on is how good these umpires are.
What have we been saying on this podcast forever?
They're really good. And you notice the misses when they miss a call. It's by like a quarter of a centimeter of an inch, and just shows how good they are and how much integrity they really have calling the game. And I think, you know, this is going to be, the ABS is going to be gone. It's going to be fully computerized. And I think with today's technology and the amount of scrutiny that we put on these umpires, and I said technology, but the technology is so good that you can't hide from anything. So I think to get away from the scrutiny, which they don't deserve, I think you're going to have to go to a fully automated system. Just
coming.
And I think it's good because once they get that technology perfect, and I always say they got to be able to call an Altuve strike zone perfect and an Aaron Judge perfect, even though the heights are completely different. I think we're at a point where they pretty much have it locked in. So I think why not? And I think it's good for the hitters because when I played, who's behind the plate tonight? And then we start forming, okay, he's a pitcher's ump. Oh, he's good for us as the hitter. Now, you know who's behind the plate every night. It's the same umpire, and it's a perfect automated system where you know exactly what a strike is, exactly what a ball is. You're not going to take a pitch 3 inches off the plate and then them make a mistake and call it a strike. No, the computer's not going to do that. So I think it's beneficial now. I think the strike zone is much smaller, but I think the one thing that's good for hitters and pitchers, you know exactly what a ball is, you know exactly what a strike is, and you're not going to be able to finish the game. Oh, he screwed us today. That umpire screwed us. No, it's a computer. He's going to do this, called the same zone for you as he is for the opponent. And the human, the only thing I don't like is the human element gets taken out of it. And I like the intrigue. I like the arguing. I like fights in baseball. We don't have any of that anymore. So you're getting rid of that stuff, but you're gaining a kind of a flawless system, you know. And there's pretty much all these changes I'm embracing and I'm liking, and I doubted at the beginning. The one thing I'd like to get rid of, Rich, the tag plays being replayed. Get rid of it. I don't want these swim moves, these acrobatic moves. If you're out, you're out. So I'd like to see them get rid of that, but I don't think they're going to.
This year, experience the NBA playoffs your way. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live basketball at home when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
So Sandy Alderson was right then. I've told you the story. When Sandy left being a general manager of the Oakland A's, the one thing that always got under his skin is he'd know that they'd have the meetings. They have a hitter's meeting, pitcher's meeting, and then they get done doing the reports, and then all of a sudden they go, okay, here's the umpire tonight. And he just thought it was nonsense that they'd have to have a specific meeting about who was behind the plate, whether you're a pitcher or a hitter. He goes, that's not right. When he got over to the commissioner's office and had the job that Joe Torre had for the longest time, and he said, you know what, we're going to have a uniform strike zone, and that's where we got all this started. So 25 years later, his vision has come true.
Yeah, and I think it's just a reflection of our society. Everything is so, you know, we're so advanced now in every capacity. I think you see all the sports do it. So this is just kind of life moving on.
I love Sandy. He's a Marine. He wanted this done correctly.
Yeah. And I think it's if you're old school, you don't like it, but it's probably growing on you right now. I think it's great. I think it just adds some more intrigue. I went to the Padres game the other night and watched the game, and it was the first game I've been to this year. And just when they tap their helmet and that little music plays, do 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 do, and then the pitch comes on the big screen, and you can tell whether it's a ball or a strike. And it's like you can see the fans are on the edge of their seat, and you'll hear a roar or ah. I think it's cool. It's another facet of the game. As an entertainer, these players are entertainers. I think it's just more entertainment for the fans. And I think for the most part, and I've seen the fans' reactions, I think for the most part, they love it.
Yeah, but the only thing is, what's the name of the watches that your brother wears?
Oh, I forget.
Oh, we should know this. You have one.
I know. I forget the name of it. Damn it.
I'll remember the name in just a second. But yeah. it's just less camera time for your brother.
Well, that's fine. He doesn't need any more camera time.
Sure he does. He wore a jersey on opening day. Did you notice that?
No.
Yeah, he wore a jersey as they came out for the lineups, and then he went and put on a sweatshirt.
Yeah, jerseys as a coach now. I think I wore a jersey once last year. It feels a little weird because you look in the mirror and you don't look like you did when you were a player. Like, it doesn't fit you the same because I guess you don't have all your equipment on. So I felt kind of goofy with the full uni on, like, hey, I'm going to play, but I'm not. I'm a coach. Yeah, I understand why people don't wear the jersey.
I will show you this. Brett Boone wears an Oris watch.
Oris, yes.
Oris. Everybody, you have one, right?
Yes, they're nice.
They're nice watches. He gave you one, right?
Yeah.
Do you tell the story?
What's the story?
When he gave it to you, he goes, hey, Brett, pick this one out. And you picked one that was way more expensive.
I don't just put anything on my wrist. I'm not a watch.
He gave you a nice watch, and then you went and bought one that he had to pay the difference for.
Oh, I don't know. I forget. That was a few years ago. It is a nice watch. And I'm not a watch guy, but I'll wear it on a special occasion. But I'm not really a watch guy.
I met the guy once. I was going to get one, and then I left the job I had because I told him I knew Arnie, and he was going to send me one of the watches that I left. Like, darn, I should have stayed that job a little longer. I could have had an air.
I went through my watch phase. You know, I got to the big leagues. I got the Rolex with the diamonds in it, and I just tried to make it me. And I'd wear it everywhere. And then one day I just kind of, I'm not a watch guy, and I'm definitely not a flashy watch guy with diamonds, but a watch is a watch. I like them on occasion for the right occasion. I put a suit on. I like wearing a watch. Anything, my typical day-to-day life, I'm not a watch guy. Not a jewelry guy really at all.
So I think we just got to find more ways for Aaron to get more TV time and get kicked out of games.
Yeah, he'll find it.
I think the Yankees broadcaster is going to have to find like an Aaron cam or something because he's just sitting there with this, you know, looking very stoic. I like animated Aaron.
That's what he should be.
Like, I don't see any clips of Aaron just being in control, sitting in the dugout. I like the ones of Aaron or drawing the. Those are the clips. I have a couple of them on YouTube that I actually saved, and I'll watch them every once.
The Lou Earl Weaver type. Yeah,
those are the best.
Yeah,
and those I just think those days are over. I just think of the Brett Aaron backyard brawls where you say, no, that's foul. No, it's not. And he starts screaming at you.
Yep.
Maybe we can bring that back. Okay. What else do I want to talk to you about? I'm just distracted by the beard. And the gray. You're getting up there, man.
Yeah, I'm a little gray.
I hate to tell you that.
I like to say it looks like a blonde highlight. My wife, she lets me know that. No, it's great.
It's gray.
People always try to bring it down, you know? Never. Oh, no, it's not gray. You're right. It looks like a blonde. Yeah, how about women? They always want us to compliment them. Oh, no, you look lovely. Oh. But, hey, my hair kind of has blonde highlights in it. Oh, that's definitely gray, Brett. How come I'm supposed to be nice to her, but she always has to tell me like it is? I guess that's part of being a man.
But see, that's okay though, because you're one of those players that actually stayed. You're as good a shape as you were when you played.
Not quite, but I try. I told you.
You didn't look bad in the uniform.
There's nothing worse. I tell you this all the time. There's nothing worse than being short and fat, Rich. And I'm already short. That's the only reason I do it. Vanity, yes. Health. I want to be around a long time. But maybe it's a, I couldn't imagine myself being a little pudgy short guy.
Right.
I am too delicate and I'm too subconscious. Vain. I'm too subconscious. But if I just turn into a fat ass, I'd be a short fat ass.
Oh, hey, listen, you're fat ass adjacent with me. And
I'll tell you, because I always, you know, because I'm always talking about diet and going to the gym. If I showed up, my friends would just, I couldn't hear the end of it every time I walk into a room.
Folks, I will tell you this. I fear when Brett gets ready to go back to throw out a first pitch in Seattle, because I know he's probably dieting and eating his chicken and fish and vegetables for a week just to make sure.
Hey, it's just a life. It's just the way you live life. I don't go on yo-yo. I do it.
No, I know. You take care of yourself. Listen, yeah. I'm starting to do a lot more cable TV. I realize I only have 1.5 chins now, not 3 when I first
You've got 2.
2?
Yeah.
I had 4 when we first
met. On a serious note, you've done really good.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of weight.
When I first met you, you were a fat ass.
Oh, I was Yoda the Hutt.
You're way better.
Yeah, I was awful. But I don't want to be that fat grandpa.
Don't be the fat big grandpa.
Yeah, I don't want to be the fat grandpa. You know anybody who's going to be a grandpa? I've been trying to get you.
I think I'm 7 weeks out. Savannah Boone already didn't listen to her dad. I said, don't find out if it's a boy or girl. She found out it's a girl. She's naming him Bobby, which I'm pumped. B-O-B-B-I, which right. I think is great. I wanted to name Savannah Bobby. My wife wouldn't let me. Her mom wouldn't let her. Susie said, no, we're not naming our daughter Bobby. I wanted to name her Bobby. But and it just so happens that grandpa's name, Bob Boone, Bobby. I don't know that Savannah's not naming her after her grandpa. She just She likes the name Bobby. And no, I think it's really cool. But I'll tell you, up until recently, I really haven't thought about it. I saw Savannah the other day, and she's very pregnant now and noticeable. It starts. I don't think it'll hit home until I'm there, and then all of a sudden, it's always in the back of my mind. But I'm excited. It's gonna be pretty cool, and you know, Milo might have to take a back seat to Bobby.
What do the kids call your mom and dad?
Just Grammy. They call my dad Bob.
Okay.
So it's Grammy and Bob.
What are you gonna be?
I have no idea. I called my grandpa Gramps, grandma Graham, my other grandma Graham. I didn't have any fancy little nicknames, so I'd be happy with Grandpa Brett. Gramps. We'll see. We'll see.
I know what I want the baby to call you.
What?
The Boone.
The Boone. That would be
awesome. Hey, that look, there's Bobby and the Boone. Savannah. Yeah. I know Savannah's going to watch this. Nick, here's my suggestion that little Bobby, she's going to be so cute. Oh, and Brett, let's just be honest. You're going to be wrapped around that little girl's finger.
Absolutely. Like I said, Milo, my dog, who's number one.
Right.
He might have to take a backseat to Bobby, but it'll be the Bobby Milo.
Now, what are you looking forward to the most?
I don't know. Hanging out with her. Like when she gets to an age where I can kind of, hey, you're going to go to grandpa's today and we're going to have a day with my granddaughter. I think that will be when it's really cool. Like, and you're going to find yourself doing whatever you want to do. You know, what do you want to do? You want to go get something to eat? You want to go here? As she gets a little bit old, you want to go get your nails done? All that stuff. I'm looking forward to all that stuff.
What if she wants to go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal?
I can make exceptions.
Wow. You're going to take her to get ice cream?
Absolutely. Probably, like you said, you get, especially your first one, always probably wraps around your finger. She'll probably get me to do whatever she wants.
Yeah. Is it scary?
No, I don't think it's hit me yet. Talk to me in about 2 months from now. Then I'll give you my real thoughts. It's not real, you know, until it's real.
Were you scared to be a dad?
No, but it was amazing. When it happened.
How so?
Oh, I just, when I saw Savannah being born, it was like,
were you in there?
Oh yeah. I was like, what And I didn't know that. I thought it was going to be, you know, we didn't find out. Right. And I thought for sure my family, it's got to be a boy, the first Boone.
Of course not.
And it was a little girl. And I remember it was almost like I was stunned, like in shock for a minute. Like, it's not a boy, but it's a girl and it's a healthy girl. And I could care less that it's not a boy. And it was surreal. I think probably the same thing when and that's why I was kind of pissed at her. I said, why do you go figure it out? I think the coolest thing for a husband, all you husbands out there, the coolest thing is not knowing. Being in the delivery room, watching the birth, which is, by the way, to date, the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Really?
Is a child being born. The most amazing thing.
Did you see the whole thing?
The whole thing. I encourage the husband, get in the trenches. It's not gross or anything like that. It is awesome. And everything goes out the window. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. And it's the coolest thing to date I've ever seen.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I would not have pegged that from you.
Absolutely wonderful. Unbelievable.
Well, you've got four great kids and now your first grandkid. And I can't wait to see the picture of little Bobby and her grandfather, the Boone.
Okay. I don't think that's going to take.
I think so. I think we should start a hashtag called Brett the Boone for Bobby. Savannah, please do me a favor. Make him the Boone. That would be the greatest. Hey, what are you going to do? Hey, Bobby, what are you going to do tonight? Let's go see the Boone.
Yeah. Weird.
Oh, that would be awesome.
She can call me whatever she wants. Whatever she decides, I'll be happy with. Whether I like it or not, I'll go from not a fan of that to the biggest fan of ever.
I told Rigney when he has a kid, I want the kids to call me Rich. He goes, I can't call you Rich. I said, nope.
You don't. But the thing is, those are things in life, Rich, we don't do. We don't set those rules.
No,
they're set for us, and we accept them. And then because it's coming from where it's coming from, it's the greatest thing in the world.
You're going to be.
We always think we know we're best.
Grandpa,
when it comes to that, you don't know best.
All right. Are we done? I think I got everything I wanted to ask you about.
We could be done. Absolutely.
All right, everybody. It's been a pretty amazing run. Brett Michaels, I really enjoyed.
He was great.
It was great. That was awesome.
Next week, we're going to have.
My new favorite, though, was Tommy Lloyd.
Tommy Lloyd, Arizona,
Tommy
great.
Lloyd was awesome.
I became a Arizona fan.
Good dude.
Who do we have? I think I'm going to have Aaron on next week, just because I haven't had him on in a while. We'll talk a little shop.
He's got a lot. He doesn't have anything to do. He's not been kicked out.
Yeah, seeing what
he's a lot wealthier now. There. He doesn't have to pay any fines. He's making more money.
Dana White again, supposed to be coming on soon too. So, okay. And then from there, you know, I'll just send you a text who's next on the podcast, and they'll just keep rolling.
All right, everybody, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Boone Podcast. We appreciate you. We work hard on this podcast. Brett makes it look easy, but there's a lot of hard work behind the scenes. And to all our producers and everybody that does such a great job, thanks to all of them, our partners at Odyssey. And most of all, and Brett, I hear from people on social media. I know you do as well. We appreciate all the kind words you say about this podcast. It's a labor of love for Brett, and I'm just along for the ride and happy to be associated with him. So, Brett, I'll let you tell everybody goodbye.
Check us out on YouTube. Oh, this is where I get to say.
That's where I was trying to set you up for your saying.
Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. See, that's a young guy do. That's what they do. That's what the young generation. Like, share, and subscribe. I haven't said that in a while. I'm glad you brought that up. Because my patented endings, check us out on YouTube. We're now on YouTube. Check us out, Odyssey app, or wherever you download your podcast. Until next time, like, share, and subscribe. Keep it here.
This year, experience the NBA playoffs your way. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live basketball at home when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.